part healing fairy tale. She stood at the border, barefoot, the ground cold. Behind her, a field, flat, empty, without a single tree. The sky above the field was low, gray, like a bandage that hadn't been changed in too long. There was nothing dangerous in the field. Just nothing. Ahead, a forest. The trunks began immediately, without transition. One step, and you're inside. The forest wasn't frightening. It was unfamiliar. Or familiar but forgotten, like the face of someone you saw in childhood and can't remember the name. The forest was not outside. The forest was inside. She had simply finally decided to enter. In her right hand, she held a knife. She didn't remember how it ended up with her. Didn't remember when she took it. It was simply there, heavy, metallic, with a blade that gleamed dully, the way things gleam when they haven't been sharpened in a long time but can still cut. Her hand gripped the handle habitually, the way you grip something you've carried so long you forgot to put it down. She looked at the knife, then at the forest. The knife didn't help her enter, but it didn't hinder either. She entered. The forest reacted, not with sound, with tension, as if the very space between the trees compressed when she walked and slightly released when she stopped, as if walking here without purpose wasn't done, as if every step should be for something. The body was gathered, jaw clenched, stomach pulled in, shoulders raised just enough to retreat at any moment, breathing, flat, shallow, controlled. She walked because standing was impossible. Standing is when you begin to feel. Walking is a task. A task is safe. Somewhere inside, deep, in the place that isn't touched, something ticked. Not a clock. A number. A number someone once spoke. And the body remembered. Tick, tick, tick. Like a countdown that started long before she entered the forest. Then the forest changed. Not suddenly. Gradually. The trees didn't disappear, but there was more space between them. The ground grew softer. The sounds grew quieter. And at some point she noticed she was walking, not through the forest, but through nothing. Colors left first. Didn't disappear. Faded. Then sound left. Then sensation. Her feet walked, but she didn't feel the ground. The knife in her hand existed, but the hand didn't feel its weight. As if someone switched off the body, left only eyes and a thought. I am here, but I am nowhere. She stopped. Around her, nothing. Not darkness and not light. Not warmth and not cold. Simply nothing. Emptiness. She knew this emptiness. It came at certain moment when the pain became too large, when screaming didn't help, when there was no one nearby who could hear. Then something inside clicked, like a switch, and the world stopped existing. From the emptiness came a voice, not from beyond the trees, from inside, as if someone spoke directly into her chest, not into her ears, but into the place where the ribs meet. You don't have to go further, the voice was calm. Even. The kind of voice that says things long since decided. You can stop, right here. Lie down. Close your eyes. Stop. She wasn't frightened. The voice didn't frighten. It was familiar. As familiar as the smell of home. Even when home was bad. It came on the darkest nights and offered the only thing not yet tried. Stopping. Why walk if the pain doesn't end? The voice asked. Why breathe if every breath is an effort? Why try if there's no result? Who are you? She asked. I am the one who is tired. The one who knows that everything has been tried and nothing helped. I didn't come to kill you. I came because I'm in pain, and I want it to stop. I hear you, she said. Then put everything down, and stay here. Here it doesn't hurt. Here is nowhere. Nowhere is also a place. Sometimes the only place where you can exhale. She stood, knife in hand, voice inside. Then she said, I hear you, but I won't stay. "You've been tired so long," she said to the voice. "You didn't want death. You wanted the pain to stop. That is different. I see you, and I won't leave you here alone." The voice didn't argue, didn't leave, simply went silent, as the one goes silent who wasn't convinced but didn't leave because there is nowhere to go. It is inside. It would walk with her, silently, a heavy weight in the chest. The emptiness began to recede. Colors returned slowly. First contours, then shadows, then the green of moss. Sound returned last, the rustle of her own breathing. From behind a tree, a figure emerged. Quickly, confidently, tall, straight, with perfect posture. Clothing, clean, buttoned to the top without a single wrinkle. Face, composed, serious, without a smile but without anger. "Stop," said the figure. "You're walking wrong." "Who are you?" "I am the one who does. 12 hours. 7 days. Without a break. I solve problems. I close projects. I get results. Without me, you wouldn't have survived. Without me, no gold medal, no university, no career, not a single morning when you got up though you didn't want to. I got up for you, every time, every day. Without me, you are nothing." "Are you tired?" she asked. "You can't be tired," Astem said the figure. "Tired means stopping. Stopping means feeling. Feeling means..." "Means what?" "Means the other one will come. The one from the emptiness. And then everything I built will collapse." "You built while I didn't know how to ask for help," the girl said. "You are the only way not to give up. Thank you. Now we can go slower." The figure stood for a second. Then followed. Not beside, slightly behind. Still muttering, "Step, step, breathing, plan, direction." From behind the trees came another voice, not from the chest, from everywhere. "You're walking wrong because you are wrong. You're not trying hard enough. You're not smart enough. You're not enough." The voice was female, old, familiar. So familiar she didn't immediately realize it wasn't her own. "The critic!" "By Basarka," said the critic. "Filth, ragamuffin, you'll die under a fence, like your mother." "You are not me," the girl said. "You went ahead," the girl said. "If I say I'm bad first, someone else's blow won't catch me off guard. You're not a sadist. You're a scout sent into danger first. You tried to protect. I see you." "You are not my voice," the girl said. "You are hers. The one who was also afraid, who was also beaten. You are not truth about me. You are her way of surviving, which she passed to me, along with the name, along with the blood." The critic didn't leave, but, by half a step, retreated. As one retreats whose power has been named for the first time as borrowed. From the bushes to the right, eyes were watching, large, round, with dilated pupils holding nothing but attention. Ears, long, pressed to the back, body pressed to the ground, every muscle taut, rabbit, the first living creature in this forest. It breathed, it moved, it was afraid, but it was. "Stop," said Rabbit. "It's dangerous here." "Where exactly?" "Everywhere, always. I hear before the others, every rustle, every change in silence. When footsteps sounded in the corridor, I heard first. When the bag was set by the door, I knew by the sound what kind of evening it would be." "That's exhausting. It's the only thing I have. Without it, I'm dead." "You're not paranoia," she said. "You're security. You heard footsteps when I didn't yet understand what to fear. You did the only thing you could. Warned. You're not a disease. Your survival." Rabbit stood, ears, for the first time, not pressed flat. Just ears. Something flickered between the trees. Red, quick, and vanished. And again, closer. Fox emerged on her own, calmly, smoothly. "Where are you going?" Fox asked. "Further." "Further isn't a direction. Going straight is honest. And honest is predictable. and predictable is vulnerable. Better to go around, show one thing, do another. You searched for contact the only way you knew, the girl said. If you couldn't ask, you earned. If you couldn't show pain, you showed strength. You're not a deceiver. You're a negotiator without a dictionary for honest conversation. Fox walked alongside, slightly to the side. Not from trust, or from the impossibility of going around alone. Something slid along the ground. Thin, dark, soundless. Snake didn't emerge from behind a tree. She was already here. Between the roots, along the trail. Dark, smooth, with scales that shimmered like water. I am older than you, Snake said at last. I existed before words, before the name, before the first cry. I am what moved when you couldn't yet walk. Then why didn't I feel you? You did. Every time something rose from the belly and you pushed it down. Every time the body wanted to scream and you clenched your jaw. Every time you wanted to dance and you stood straight. That was me. And every time you said to me, no. And you were right, Snake said. Then you were. At 4, at 7, at 14. Releasing me was impossible. There was no room. There were no hands to hold you. You locked me away and survived. That was the only right answer to an impossible question. And now? Now it's tight, she said. The old skin. Stiff. Brittle. I'm growing inside it, and it won't let me. And it hurts me. And it hurts you, too. You feel it as spasms. As insomnia. As the impossibility of breathing all the way in. That's me. Pressing against the walls of what you coiled me into. What will happen if I let go? Pain, like birth. The skin will come off in patches. You'll shake at night, wake from convulsions. The body will do what you haven't allowed it for 35 years. Scream, arch, cry in a voice you won't recognize. Childlike, animal, inhuman. You'll think you're going mad. You're not. That's me. Shedding what's long been too tight. And you, with me. And after? After Mom. Easier. Not right away, but easier. I don't tame, Snake said. I'm not a cat, not a rabbit. I am Force. You don't befriend Force. You learn to be with it. Everyone stopped. A figure stood between the trees, motionless, without a face, without a form. Simply peanut presence. Heavy, pressing, the kind that makes you want to become smaller, to sink through the earth and stop existing. Shame. I see you, the girl said to Shame. You came long ago, when I was 3. Or earlier. You came and said, something is wrong with you, not with the world, with you. And I believed. I will no longer hide from what you show. But I will no longer believe that it's truth about me. Shame didn't leave, but by half a step, retreated. As one retreats who has been named for the first time. From the darkness, Yin, a lunge, black, small, furious, flew between them in shame, hissed, arched its back. Kitten. Don't look at her like that, he screamed. You're for me? I'm for nobody. I don't need anyone. But you lunged at Shame. Because when someone looks at you like that, you want to die. And I don't want to die. I want to fight. Fighting is better than the other thing. What other thing? When you're small and wet and in a pit and you call and nobody comes. And then you stop calling and become angry. Because the angry one, that's the one they fear. And the one they fear, they don't abandon. But they don't love either. I don't need love, the kitten screamed. I need them not to leave. I won't leave, she said. Everyone says that. But the voice was no longer angry. It was small. Very small. You bit because when you were small, no one picked you up. You learn to be frightening because frightening ones aren't abandoned. You're not angry. You're alive. Aliveness was not the problem. The problem was the place where there was no room for it. Behind the kitten, in the shadow between the roots, sat another figure. Very small, almost invisible, transparent like morning light. A girl, about 2, maybe younger. She wasn't crying, wasn't screaming, just sitting and looking into the darkness, patiently without hope, the way you wait for what won't come. "Will she come?" she asked almost soundlessly. "Who?" The one who smelled, the one from whom there was warmth, the one who was, and then stopped being. "She won't come," the girl said, and the voice didn't waver outside. But everything wavered inside. "But I'm here," the girl said, and sat beside her, and took the small, transparent hand into her own. "I won't leave again. Every day, every morning, even when the critic is already working and the kind voice is still asleep." The little one didn't answer, but her fingers, by 1 millimeter, squeezed the palm. At the center, a figure, sitting, bent over, arms around her knees, covered in frost, thin, silvery, layered, year after year. Her eyes were open, but didn't see. "I did that," said Control, "for the first time, in a voice. I froze her, to save her, because if she had kept feeling she wouldn't have survived." "You didn't die," she said to the frozen one. "You waited. All this time you were there, beneath the frost, waiting for it to be safe. You are survival of a different kind. Not through action, through preservation. You are everything I managed to protect." She simply breathed, beside her, evenly. And after some time, on one eyelash of the frozen one, a crystal of frost darkened. Didn't melt. Darkened. The way ice darkens when water appears beneath it. Water that doesn't flow yet. But that already exists. Among all of them, one nobody noticed at first. She stood with closed eyes. Not because she slept, because she hadn't opened them. In a long time. Since the day when the images became unbearable. "You're not looking?" the girl asked. "I know everything, I hear. I feel through my skin. I remember by touch. I simply don't look. Because when I looked, I saw things that made me want to stop existing." "You're not an ostrich," the girl said. "You're an eyewitness who was given too many testimonies. You close your eyes not from cowardice, from the impossibility of holding it all. Open them when you're ready. I'll describe what I see." They walked, all of them. Tired. All of them. The voice from the chest, that one, came. "See? It's not working. You don't have to go further." "Wait," the girl said. She stood in the middle of the forest, and for the first time, saw. Not one part, but all. Simultaneously. How they work. How they trigger each other. Emptiness to voice of death. To perfectionist takes control to control. Compresses to overload. To surrenderer gives up to binge eater, stuffs her mouth to voice of death, whispers to despair, to rise to new plan, to too fast to crash to emptiness again. Circle after circle, thousands of circles. And then she saw something else. They were walking in circles, blown miles, but not through the forest, through a cage. The forest was not a labyrinth. The forest was a cage, and she carried it with her. The cage was not outside. It was inside. Phoenix settled on a branch, feathers dimmed. "You're tired too?" she asked. "Every time you fall, I rise." Rising endlessly is also a form of infinity. Sometimes I just want to sit, then sit. You saved me so many times. The branch broke, and you lifted me. The balcony, you. The knife, you. Thank you. But today you don't have to burn. The feathers slowly dimmed. Didn't disappear, but turned warm, like embers. Not fire, but warmth. Not a blaze, but a hearth. All the parts stood beside each other. For the first time, beside each other, not peacefully, not harmoniously, simply beside each other, the girl looked at them, at all of them at once, and felt something she'd never felt before. They were all her. Not enemies, not a defect, not a diagnosis, her. Whole, with all the teeth, claws, masks, and silence. And in that moment, from the silence, she heard water. She felt it before she heard it. Something pulled, not forward, inward, the way the edge of a cliff pulls you. Not because you want to fall, but because the edge is where the known ends. All parts went silent simultaneously. For the first time on the entire journey, silence without anxiety. Simply silence. Water, not noise or sound. Quiet even, like the breathing of someone very large. River, said Rabbit, and backed away.
We can go around, said Fox.
No, the girl said. We don't go around. We don't turn back. The river was not a finale. The river was a threshold. The only place where everything she carried could become different. Not disappear, but change. The corset can't be removed, but in water it softens. She went in first. Not because she wasn't afraid. Because she no longer waited for it to stop being frightening. The water was cold, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. The body screamed, back, control, all eyes darted. Perfectionist screamed, no plan. Feet cramped, she walked. And with every step, the corset loosened. That invisible corset that had tightened the space from the first minute, in water it softened. The bands holding the ribs that wouldn't let her fully breathe. Water seeped between them and the body, and they, slightly, released. And there was more air. For the first time, more. Rabbit entered second, trembling. But all entered with fear. Not without it, with it. Fox Lenore's third, without going around. For the first time, fruit straight. Kitten, fourth. Hissed at the water. The water didn't react. He entered. Wet, angry, but entered. The little one. In her arms. Transparent. Her arms wrapped around the girl's neck, and for the first time, tightly. The frozen one, slowly. Water touched the frosts, and it darkened. In the middle, at the deepest point, the girl stumbled. The current pushed, her feet lost the bottom. The body went under. Everyone froze. She was drowning. The body remembered. Once they threw her in water, and no one helped. But now she reached out a hand, up from the water, and grabbed her own hair and pulled up herself by the hair from the water. Impossible, but when there is no one else, it's possible. The head surfaced, a breath, feet found the bottom. She stood, wet, gasping, alive. I pulled myself out, she whispered. Myself. Not a branch breaking, not someone waking up in time, not someone grabbing the knife. She, herself, for the first time, not chance that saved her. Her. They stood on the other bank, wet, tired, all of them. Nothing had changed outside, but something had changed. Not in the world. In them. On the other bank, the parts were the same, but they had different names. Rabbit stood and wasn't running. I still hear everything, but now I hear other things too. Rustling, a bird, breathing. Not only danger. My fear became hearing. Fox stood, Weakwaim, without a mask. I still know how to go around, but now I can also go straight. My cunning became wisdom. Kitten sat beside a panther, who had appeared on the other bank. Calm, black, with yellow eyes. She'd been waiting for them here. I still know how to bite, but now it's called a boundary. I can say no, and it's not an attack. Perfectionist stood for the first time without a plan. I still know how to do, but now it's a tool, not all of me. Critic stood, wet, silent. The words lost their poison in the river. I still see mistakes, but now it's attention, not a verdict. Surrenderer stood, for the first time, now not sitting. The water washed away, not fatigue, hopelessness. Binge eater stood with empty hands and an empty mouth, and for the first time, felt real hunger. Not the kind you fill with whatever's there, but the kind that says, I want to live. The frozen one. All the frost had darkened, as if beneath every crystal was water. That didn't flow yet, but was. Phoenix sat, quiet, feathers warm, like embers, like a hearth. The blind one, for the first time, cracked one eye open. The light was bright. It hurt. She squinted shut, but, for a second, saw, and cried, not from pain, from the fact that the world existed, and it was not only horror. And then, from the silence, the little one spoke, for the first time on the entire journey, not in a whisper, in a voice, thin but audible. Why do you want to kill me? Everyone froze. I don't want to kill you, she said. You do? Said the little one. Every time the voice from the chest come, you want to. Every time despair comes, yeah, you want me gone, because I am the part that makes it hurt. If I didn't feel, it wouldn't hurt. If I didn't exist, you wouldn't suffer. For several years, the little one continued, you said the right words. I'm with you. You're not alone. I'll always be here. But inside there was a condition. I heard it. I'm with you. If you become calmer, if you stop wanting to die, if you stop being like this. And I was silent. Because when you're accepted with conditions, there is no trust. And without trust, there is no dialogue. The girl sat on the ground, slowly, took the little one's hands in her own. You're right, she said. I wanted to fix you, correct you. Make you normal. I had a list, long, detailed, of what to change in you, and for 20 years I followed it. But you won't change. There won't be a different brain. There won't be a different body. There won't be a different nervous system. You are like this. And so what? The girl said, and the voice trembled. I'll be with you to the end of my days, no matter what. Just like this. As you are. The little one didn't smile, didn't cry. She did what she hadn't done once on the entire journey, not once in an entire life. Embraced, with small transparent arms, she wrapped the girl's neck and pressed close, and became slightly denser, slightly here. Not a technique, not a method, simply be staying. Stopping the fixing and being beside. On the other bank, between the roots of an old tree, sat a cat. Real. Alive. Not a symbol and not a metaphor. With black fur, with green eyes. Thin. Wary. Also from a shelter. Also abandoned. Also grew up without a mother. The girl approached, sat down. The cat didn't retreat. Didn't hiss, simply waited. You're not a part, the girl said. You are real. The cat stretched, came closer, lay on the left shoulder, where the biggest tension lives, as if she knew. Warm, alive, purring. This was a bridge between the forest and life, between symbol and reality. And then, for the first time, she heard another voice. Not from the chest where the dark, heavy one lived. From somewhere deeper. From the place where the breath reached the bottom. The voice was quiet. Very quiet. So quiet it could only be heard in silence. Not in emptiness, but in true silence. Which comes when all the parts go quiet for at least a second. Sunshine. One word. That had never existed. In an entire life. Sunshine, the voice repeated. You are good, not because of A's, Not because you're useful, you are good. Just so, simply because you are. The critic flinched. Quiet, the girl said, not to the critic, to herself. Let me listen. The voice didn't vanish. It was weak, newborn, like a sprout through asphalt. It needed to be grown, every day, every morning. But it was, for the first time, it was. The little one, the one in her arms, lifted her head, and for the first time, smiled. A real one, small, childlike. At the roots of a tree beside the cat lay an object, a teapot, small, broken, reassembled, but not in the way things are assembled to hide the break. The opposite. The cracks were filled with gold. Every fracture, valkyem, visible. Every shard, in place. But between them, golden lines, like rivers on a map. Like veins, like the roots of a tree. She picked it up, heavy, warm. Is this me? She asked. No one. The forest? The air? Herself? Broken doesn't mean destroyed. Glued doesn't mean weak. The lines of gold are not camouflage. They are history. Every crack. A blow that didn't kill. Every shard. A part that survived. Every golden river between them. What she used to join them. Panther lay on a stone, warm, flat, in the middle of a clearing. You know all of them, the girl said. I am all of them, Panther said. The kitten grew up. Rage became strength. Fear became hearing. Cunning became wisdom. Freeze became silence. Rebellion became freedom. Perfectionism became mastery. Control became structure. Critic became attention. Surrender became acceptance. Hunger became a taste for life. Iron softened in the water. I remember the basements. Remember the frost. Remember the curse. Remember the knife. And I remember the river. Will we all become ye? The kitten asked. No. You will remain yourselves. But I am what happens when you stop warring with each other. Not assembled, the girl said. Not repaired. Simply unseen. She sat by the stone, back to the warmth. Feet on the grass, palms up. The grayness above had thinned, like paper through which you can see light. Not yet light, but its promise. She took a breath, a deep one. The first real breath that passed not only through the chest, but further, to where the belly is, the pelvis, what had been closed, clenched, hidden, the ribs released. Air reached the very bottom and found there, not emptiness, something soft, warm, alive, something that had always been there, but that she hadn't felt, though inside, all this time, it was. She exhaled, and with the exhale, water left her eyes, warm, salty, not tears, water, from the place the breath had found. She sat on the ground. The ground held her. The stone warmed her back. Panther breathed beside her. The knife on the other bank. The river behind. The cage unlocked. The corset loosened. The curse left at the stone. All parts wet beside her. The forest is the same. But now it is not a battlefield. Not a cage. It is an ecosystem. Living. Working. Imperfect. With fear that became hearing, with cunning that became wisdom, with rage that became a boundary, with control that became structure. Integration is not when all parts disappear, it's when they stop warring. She didn't say, we are healed, because that would be untrue. She simply stayed, for now. Somewhere above, the grayness had thinned almost to nothing, like paper on which someone will write, later, something. Maybe no sacrifice required. Maybe my fear is not a prophecy. Maybe the kitten should be cherished. And she remembered three names. They had always been nearby. She simply hadn't heard. The one who bore her was named Love. She didn't give what the name promised. The one who raised her was named Hope. She cursed instead of hoping, and she herself was named Faith. Faith, hope, love. Three names, three words she was never given, three qualities that didn't need to be found but grown. From nothing. The way the kind voice appears in the silence when all other voices go quiet. Faith in herself. Not in a plan, not in a method, not in the next savior. In herself. Hope. Not blind, not phoenix-like, not the kind that burns and burns out. Quiet. Like embers. Like a hearth. Love. Not the kind you earn with A's. The kind that lives inside. That was always there. Infinite and eternal. The kind the little girl waited for at the closed door. And that all this time was not behind the door but inside her. You are here. And that, for now, is enough. Or you haven't. Or you quit halfway and came back. Or you started with a fairy tale. Doesn't matter how. What matters is that you're here. This book is not finished, like me. Somewhere there's too much pain in a row. Somewhere not enough air. But it's honest. I want the next version of this book to be better, more precise, closer to what you need. If something in this book resonated with you, and you feel like supporting it, you can do so here. https://buymeacoffee.com/faithwithinyou. Your feedback matters to me. What struck you? Where did you recognize yourself? Where did you want to close the book, and why? Where did you run out of air? Where was it too much? Where? Too little. If you found something in this book that helped, tell me. If you found something that wounded, tell me that too. I can take it. I've been trained to take it since age 6. Write to me, faithwithinyou@hotmail.com. If you're interested in what comes next, I'm not stopping. Every day I read, try, study something about recovery, about the body, about the nervous system, about how to live after you've learned to survive. New practices, new insights, new mistakes. If it would be useful for you if I shared this, not as a book, but as a blog, a living recovery journal, let me know. I'm thinking about it. But I want to understand if anyone besides me needs it. Tell me your story. I'm interested in you, not out of politeness. From the same place this entire book was written from, the need to know I'm not alone. What helped you? What shifted? What are you studying? What are you going through? What works? And what turned out to be useless? If you want to share, write, anonymously or not, short or long, one sentence or 10 pages, I'll read it. Everyone. Because the 12th step is not a book. The 12th step is what happens after. Between me and you, between stories, between people who recognized each other, not by face, but by pain. Thank you for finishing, or for starting, or for coming back. Bye for now. Going to do DMT breathing. Kintsugi Jinjigi, a Japanese method of ceramic restoration. Broken pieces are glued with lacquer mixed with gold or silver powder. The cracks are not hidden but highlighted. The philosophy behind it, breakage is not the end but part of the story that makes the object more valuable.